By C.C. Winings. Greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Body. It is a, what they say, a plum-pleasing pleasure to be with you on this wonderful evening. Hey, I'm coming to you live from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, we're in for a wonderful time, a wonderful program tonight. Hey, I want to do a little testimony. Amen. I got a little scripture reading for you, my little inspiration. Then I got a teaching tonight talking about unity in the body. unity in the body. I want to make that a plain teaching for us on tonight. And so we're going to get into it later on here. Here's just a little inspirational reading as we're leading up to next Sunday message. Save your life by losing it. Mark chapter 8. Verse 31 through 34. I'm going to read this from the New Living for those of you that sometimes find the King James just a little hard to follow. Amen. But we're going to read this in the New Living. This was Jesus predicting his death on the cross. Amen. He was talking about that there in Mark. And so, again, Mark chapter 8 verses 31 through 37. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him, to rebuke him, to tell him, that ain't going to happen, player. to reprimand him for saying such things. And Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are saying the things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view." And a lot of times we think that some things that we're saying, they sound good, we mean well, but it's not the plan of God. And in this case, that's what he was saying to us. Then called the crowd to join his disciples. He said, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of God, for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" And verse 37, "Is anything worth more than your soul?" So that's a thought for you as we go on into more good music. We got some great music coming up for you here. We want you to enjoy the songs today. We want you to enjoy. We got a song called "People" by Jonathan McReynolds. Wonderful song. And then we're going to come back and we're going to say hello to everybody and get everyone that's on the line to have some words if they like or to share testimony as we go into our testimony. At this time, let us receive Jonathan Reynolds. Hey, man, how you doing? Talk to us.
They are the best and the worst you've created, loving and hating and opinionated, donors and basements and those congregated, deliver me. Far from the peaceful shore I was sinking, deep in the ocean the thoughts they were thinking. Don't know what validation I was seeking. Deliver me.
I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan, to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Amen and amen. The church is you, me, us together. Amen. Once again, you are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. It is a wonderful evening here. We had a little rain that cooled it down just a little bit. Definitely hot here in the city. Hey, I'm hoping wherever you are, you're safe and warm. I'm hoping that you're remembering to wash your hands frequently. Be mindful of others when you go out. I'll either make sure you stay in your 6 foot spaces or wearing facial masks to help not spread the virus and doing those things just to be safe. Amen. We do our part. We're not teaching fear. We're teaching diligence. Amen. You be diligent to do your part and leave the rest in the hands of God. Hey, I'm glad to be here on this evening. Glad to see you. I lost the caller just a moment. I hope that wasn't my issue. Maybe they'll call back in. Amen. But I think I see you there, Brother Charles. God bless you on this evening. How you doing, man of God?
Doing great, Pastor Bonnet. Thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. How is Mother Sanford doing on this evening?
Mother Sanford is good. She told me to tell you hello. She's over there with Aunt Felicia. So she said to tell you hello.
All right. That's good. You make sure you send them my greetings as well and say thank you. Amen. I want to say thank you. First Lady and I, we enjoyed our loaded baked spaghetti that we had on yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to you.
Okay.
We went to Fazoli's and enjoyed ourselves. We brought it home. I ordered it. Brought it back to the house.
Okay.
Sat down and watched this car show. So we enjoyed it really, really good. So man, that was a blessing. And so just want to say thank you.
You're very welcome.
We truly, truly enjoyed it. It was good. We're moving on. I believe I testify. I just testified. That was my testimony. That somebody got dinner for the First Lady and myself. That was the testimony, even before I sung the song. So just want to tell God thank you. And the individual that did it, thank you as well. Truly, it was good. I couldn't even sing the song without laughing at myself that I already testified. As testimony goes, I give honor to God who's the head of my life, thanking God for saving me one day, filling me with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, allowing me to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. I thank God that I've been saved now for over 26 years. And so living for him saved, you know. Yes, I did the sinner's prayer when I was a child, but since when I came of age and actually recommitted myself to the Lord and dedicated myself to serving him with my whole heart. That's been 26 years ago, and probably looking like more like 27. I think this is when the month of August, yeah. So yeah, about 27 now. Amen. And so I just want to thank God for giving me longevity. I'm in my 50s now, and I thank God for allowing me to be here to see another day. Amen. I thank him for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Amen. I thank him for being clothed and in my right frame of mind. In these day and times, people are coming down with dementia and Alzheimer's. People coming down with cancer and other ailments that are plaguing their bodies. And I know that the pandemic this coronavirus has led the field in scare amongst all people everywhere. But I'm reminded that the scripture says that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, not just mine, but our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And so I speak healing to our nation of this coronavirus, of all that ails them, all that attacks their bodies. I speak a level of faith that they will allow their faith to touch God and to believe that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. So that's my testimony on this evening. If anyone else has a testimony, you're welcome to share. Come one, come all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, first off, I made the woke list early this morning, so I want to thank God for that. Had a productive day, and creativity is going great. Just staying focused and letting God do his thing. So blessings for that. And,
Amen.
Staying healthy and strong. Amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. That is wonderful. All right. Staying healthy and strong. You know, that has to be a choice, Brother Six. Many people don't realize being healthy is not something that we just turn over to the Lord. Yes, we ask him to do those things when we don't have maybe the extra funds to go that extra mile, but the one that we're walking, the one that we're taking, we can be mindful of what we do and how we do. I saw many years ago, I was doing a study and came across insurance salesman that was doing a teaching, doing a seminar. And in the seminar, he was talking about being responsible for yourself. You know, there was a saying back in the day that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. He said something as simple as just eating one apple a day, people find it hard to do. And
somebody got a TV in the background?
Hold on. Okay, I did. I corrected that on that end. I just muted that line. Amen. Thank you for calling that out. There was some background noise over there. All right. And so he was saying that you know, it's so easy for us to get up in the morning and just jump up and get to going. But most of us won't take 5 minutes just to do a few stretches to make sure your blood is circulating through your body. You know, reach over, touch your toes, side to side, reach to the ceiling, bend down low, stretch your legs, stretch your arms, twist your body, and do simple stretches just to help you stay healthy. But he said, we have an obligation to take care of these bodies. And that's the easy part. You don't need money to do that. And I find out so many people, we have been, and I say we, because I've been very guilty of it in times past, not doing the simple exercise. You know, we talk about not having the money to go to gyms or spas or what have you, to get a personal trainer. But it doesn't take much for you just to get up and stretch your own body. It doesn't take much for you to drink the proper amount of water. And it doesn't take much for you to ensure that you get anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sleep each night. And so we have to be responsible for our bodies. What you feel about that?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I like that answer. I have a flashback moment, you know. Sometimes you know people in your past that's a phrase. So I had one of those moments when you say, "Oh yeah." But anyway, And I had a call coming through. We have to be mindful of these bodies. I'm quite sure you, as a young man yourself, you may not be able to go to the gym like you want to. But is it anything that you do to try to maintain a level of healthiness within yourself? Anything particular that you purposely do for us, eating or way of exercise or just amount of food or type of food, anything in particular?
Well, salads. We try to eat salads. She got me on this salad kick. I'm eating more salad now than before, more green vegetables. And
okay.
They just opened up the gym again. So the treadmill, I got to get back down there to that. But before the pandemic, I was using that treadmill. And now
okay.
That I got it back open, I wipe it down before I get on there and wear my gloves
uh-huh.
and my mask. And
okay.
after that, throw the gloves away and the mask and, sanitize my hands.
Do you know how far you walk when you're on the treadmill? Do you try to walk a certain time?
It tells you. It tells you. I try to go for like an hour or more walking on that thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you using a brisk walk or?
It's brisk. It's brisk. I'm not doing the running, man, because the last time I tried that thing, and it takes Mikhail to tell you about this. I was on the treadmill, and they were out doing crafts. I think they were building like little bird houses, painting them and stuff. And, you know, me and crafts don't get along. So I said, well, I'm gonna go in here and exercise while y'all do that. And if it wasn't for my friend Faith hearing me coming in there to get me, you seen the Jetsons, right?
Yeah.
Cartoon. Hey, stop this crazy thing.
That crazy thing.
That was me. Yeah, that was me.
It got too fast.
I couldn't get it to shut off. I didn't trust myself to step and try to jump off of it. and she came
wow.
in there, and you talking about somebody was sweating? Man, I was dripping with sweat.
You got to put on the safety clip. You know, the
I didn't know
clip.
Where it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the safety, most safety clip should be directly in front, right in the middle. And you clip it to you. And that way, if you pull back too far from it, it'll pull out of its insert and it'll stop automatically.
Okay.
I don't have an excuse why not to use a treadmill. I can't say the gym is closed or was closed or I'm worrying about other people. I got a nice big treadmill sitting right over here at the house. My dining room has space enough for me to use half of it for the treadmill because it folds up. So I have no zero excuse. And I was getting on it for a while, fortunately for me, my line of work keeps me walking miles a day. So it's nothing for me to do 20,000 steps a day or more because I don't use a riding mower. I do a walk behind. So although it has power, but I'm still walking behind it. So I get my steps in, and it's showing. It's helping me to maintain the weight loss that I did a couple of years ago. So I've been able to use that. I got a Fitbit watch, and I set it to 10,000 steps, and then I think I moved it up to 15. So that it will remind me to make my steps. And it finally went out on me about a month ago. I done had it for a couple of years. And it went out on me. It wasn't Samsung. Yeah. It was Fitbit. The Samsung was waterproof. Better waterproof. So this was supposed to be waterproof, too. I done been in the water with it, all of that. But I guess this time, I'm trying to think, did I get in the jacuzzi with it? And if I did, that might have did it if I was in the – I got the jacuzzi tub. So the heat, the steam, even though it may have waterproof or regular cool water, but once that water get the jets stirring that water up, it can change the pressure, and so it can probably cause it to precipitate on the inside.
That's possible, but we don't have that problem with the Apple product.
Apple would have did the same thing because it'll do the same thing. Now that wasn't my Samsung; it was my Fitbit, which is that's the brand, the Fitbit. I had the Fitbit. It looked like the Apple Watch because it's squared the same way, same type facing. So I miss it too. I had started wearing that watch. I had them put up all of my other good watches. I got a Ventica, and I had put it up with me. Yeah. So I haven't put on a regular watch until about 2 weeks ago, or a week. Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, last week, I would say I started back wearing my regular watches. Then I haven't put them all up because I was stuck on that Fitbit. I'm like, man, this do everything. It tell me my heart rate and let me to record my water intake. And so it became something, a tool for me to use on a regular basis. So, and just trying to manage my health. And so I miss it. Now I did have a Samsung, the Gear I had a Samsung Gear, the Gear 1. That was the wide face one. Man, that thing was pretty. I was going through some pictures the other day and saw it on there, watching a video of me doing an installation that I was supposed to load up to YouTube that I still didn't load up on how to install a commode and how to set it up and install it. And I had it on, and I'm like, man, I missed that watch. The face on it, it had changeable bands, but the bands, they would snap in. And somehow or another, I was out golfing, and it had came off, and I didn't realize that it had popped out. And, man, went all through the course, couldn't find it. And I said, well, somebody going to find them a nice present.
Daddy happy.
So I was a little brokenhearted. And so that's
well,
when I got the Fitbit.
Tiger Woods picked it up. I said, maybe Tiger Woods picked it up.
Somebody picked it up. Normally when you pick up stuff like that, you turn it into the clubhouse, and you can go back a day or so later and claim your stuff. You know, most times people have courtesy in golf. You know, it's a gentleman game. You know, but nevertheless, it is what it was. But hey, man, I tell you. Let me go ahead and play this next track and get into our lesson on this evening. I tell you, on next week, Lord say his name and everything goes well, I want to bring on the program Elder Willie Deering. He's a gospel preacher. He's also a talented singer in his own right. Used to travel with some of the renowned televangelists and doing programs overseas and stuff, you know, going out where they was having just big revivals. And so he was part of all of that. And somewhere around early 2000, I want to say about 2006, he had some issues that happened with his eyesight. And shortly after that, lost his eyesight completely. And I'm going to let him tell his testimony. I won't tell it all. But yet still faithful to ministry, yet still doing those things. And I think he'd be a good person to talk to and share with concerning things, making it with a disability and surviving. Earlier this year, his wife passed. And like I said, I let him give all the extra details, but she was one that had she had a double amputee. So she had two prosthetic legs. And so let them talk about just how to overcome diversity as we're talking about that. Because a lot of times, most time when preachers, we're preaching about trusting God, it seems like a lot of times we're speaking from a point of where God has already delivered us or brought us through. And so because you don't see the particular challenges that we may be going through at the moment, you know, it may throw certain questions whether or not we're really going through as much as we may be saying. But I just want to bring him on the program and let him just share his faith about perseverance. Known him for a good long time, And he's a brother of mine in spirit and in truth. And I tell you, someone that I'm just I respect because he does not quit. It encouraged me to keep going when I hear people with challenges like his still doing all that they can to make it. And so when I think about my aches and pains or whatever, I consider the people who are less fortunate, the people that don't have the eyesight, the people that don't have the freedom of mobility, you know, to just move like they want to move, but they're restricted to how they move and when they can move. It just makes me respect God even more and appreciate what God has done for me even more. And so at this time, I'm going to play another track by Jonathan McReynolds called Better.
There's a misconception that temptation won't affect her at all, at all, at all. But just like you were, I let it see my heart. I'll fall, I'll fall, I'll fall. And I can't act like I don't know how. Yeah, I beat myself up about it now, but tomorrow just be better, better, better. Better, better, better. Keep on moving closer, closer, closer. You know that all is given because he'll help you to be better. See, we all have fallen, but you can't be on the ground for long, for long, for long. After a while, you'll start thinking that recovery's not an option, and you're wrong, you're wrong. So wrong, yeah, and you can't undo what you did now. You're taking a clean slate, that grateful love, and tomorrow can do better, 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 better. Keep on moving closer, closer, yeah. You know that all is given because he'll help you to do better.
I feel too bad. It won't hurt to see a little stronger, longer. We're together after a while. Oh, it's something different, and it started. So tomorrow I'll just feel better. Tomorrow I'll just feel better, better, better. Keep the moment closer, closer, yeah. You know me.
Thank you.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen. We want to thank all of our sponsors, all of our contributors to the Six Eyes program. Here on the Six Eyes program, we just want to remind you that we bring you great program each week, 7 days a week. You can join us right here each night, each day on the Central Standard Time. On Sundays, our Sunday Gospel, our Six Eyes Gospel Show starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Mondays, every Monday, you can always come and join me on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly at 9 p.m. You can join us on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. for the Word of the King on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. is the Six Eyes Gospel Bible study, and every Thursday at 9 is the Jumbo Braille program on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And on every Friday, you can join us with the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. And on Saturday is our open programming. You can join us at any of these programming. If you'd like to make any type of contribution to help maintain these programs, we thank you very much in advance, and we thank you for what you've already done. But you can always send your contributions to either the Cash App platform or the PayPal platform. If you're utilizing the Cash App, it is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, and the digit number 4, and that's the Cash App platform. If you're using PayPal, you simply type in the email SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And once again, all your contributions that you sow in is greatly appreciated, and we know that God will richly bless you for what you do out of love. Amen. And on this evening, we're going to get into our message. Hopefully you have your Bible with you as we read in the Bible today from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book to read from. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, I don't know if we'll be able to read all of it, so I'm going to just give you the study outline. The study outline will be coming again from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And you can read that from your King James Version, and that will be fine. Again, Ephesians, the 4, verses 1 through 16. Amen. Now, here in the lesson, and again, my title I want to give you is Unity in the Body. And this is the subject matter, unity in the body. When there's not unity in our bodies, usually it's because of cancer or sickness, something that have hindered the proper function of the body doing its normal actions. When there's a brain condition that can cause the nerves in your body not to function correctly, those disorder will cause you not to be able to lift your hands up when you need to, or you may have arthritis, something that bring in some type of blockage that hinders the flow. And when those things happen, then it makes it harder to accomplish tasks. It makes it harder to do what it is that you desire to do. Same way in the body of Christ. When we spend a lot of time fighting amongst ourselves, going against ourselves, we, in a sense, have become cancerous to our own body. We have become an illness or sickness or disease that is hindering the natural or the spiritual flow of this spiritual body, which is the body of Christ. So I'm going to read just a little bit of this and get into my lesson. Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. But I'm only going to read a couple. It says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you may walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. You know what? Let me switch that over. I'm going to read the New Living tonight. Amen. Every now and then I like to teach from the New Living. When I'm teaching the King James, I'm teaching that for the spirit of unity, that when we're quoting scripture, that we are saying the same thing. But for the teaching standpoint, here in the New Living, the latest version of the New Living, it reads as follows. And again, this topic is unity in the body. It says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. In other words, if whatever God has called for you to do, be about that. Be true to that. And make sure you're going after that. And I say that because it is relevant to who you are. It is relevant because I may be a foot, you may be a hand, so we're not called to do the same thing. You may be an ear, I may be an eye. We're not called to do the same thing. But nevertheless, we are all part of the same body. And so we want to have a cohesiveness in what we're doing. The unity in the body is this. When I go to lift something up with one hand and the weight of it is too heavy, automatically my other hand begin to assist it. Automatically my other hand get in position to share the load. And so there's things that as a body of Christ we need to do automatically. It shouldn't have to be a lot of pumping and priming to get us to do some things to stay in unity. So the Apostle Paul here, a lot of his writing he wrote while he was in chains. He was what we call house arrest today. While he was waiting for his day in court, while he was waiting to appeal to Caesar. And so, but he continued his writings. He continued to encourage the brotherhood. And that gives him so much credit because he could have been complaining about the change. He could have been saying somebody need to come and set me free and all kinds of things. But because he was dedicated to the purpose of serving God for the benefit of others, he was willing to go through what he endured so that we will have a strong example of how to stick and stay, how to apply ourselves, how to really go after the things of God. So he's an example for us. So he says again, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's fault. In other words, don't be quick to judge. Amen. Because of your love. Amen. Be mindful that everybody is not operating from the same place where you may be operating from. You may got your cussing habits under control. They may not. So don't be quick to judge them. You may got to the point where you no longer drink anymore, and they may take a sip here and there. Don't be quick to judge them. Don't condemn them, amen, in the things that they're still working out, the things that they're still working through. So be patient. Many people had already had a lot of tattoos and stuff on their bodies, some that they're ashamed of. Don't judge them. They're new converts now. Many of those things they did, it was before Christ. It was before understanding, before their knowledge. And so it's not for us to condemn them for what's on their bodies. Amen. For Christ redeemed them. Amen. And so they are now part of the body of Christ. That's build them up. That's encourage them. Amen. So that's be mindful. It says, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, building yourself together with peace. This is something that the church family does together. This is something that the body of Christ does. That's why it's good to have a community of believers. Now, I know we're in a different time, a different dispensation of time that's far different from the time that the Bible was written. They didn't have cell phones or telephones or CDs. They had no ways of communicating with people long distance unless somebody carried the message for them. And so so times have changed in that aspect, but the human condition is still the same. And so and it's important, and Paul was the example for us, or is our example, that we look to on how to encourage one another, how to build up one another. And so he says, keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. That word binding, that's tying together, yoking together, purpose. That's something you do on purpose. You know, if you're trying to put a cord together on your lawnmower, where you need a piece of strap, something to bind it together to keep it from flapping everywhere, moving. And so we have to use the Spirit of the Lord to bind us together, to keep us together. Amen. We have to be mindful of others' condition. Amen. What they're enduring, and as we are doing those things, it will keep us together in the Spirit. For there is one body and one Spirit. So there's not many bodies of Christ. There's one body of Christ. Although we be many, but we be a part of the one body. Just like you have one body, and your one body have many members. Even in your fingers, one hand, you have more than just side digits working there, because within each digit is nerves and nerve endings and blood cells and blood vessels, bone and tissue. All of that's working together. And so just like we ourselves are many, we're still one. And whenever we, the one, desire to go forward, we don't need the feet moving backwards. And so we work together. That's how the Spirit of God keeps us united as a church family, that we have a mission statement as a church or as a community, and we go after those things together, knowing that each one have their purpose within that community, within that unity. Each of us have something that we can contribute to. A lot of times we look at people's physical conditions and think that they have little to contribute. And what we don't realize is it takes little to add up to be much. The more little you have, the more eventually as it comes together, it becomes much. So we can't underestimate someone little. And we know, according to Christ, that God gave to one talent, to another two talent, to another five. He gave to them according to their several abilities. And so you may only have one thing to present, and you do that with your whole heart. You do that with all that you are, wherein somebody else may be multi-talented. They may have finances. They may have wherewithal. They may have other connections. And it's for them to utilize the much that God has given them to add to the body of Christ. Why? The scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. So that's how we operate within that. Amen, somebody. And so, once again, verse 4 says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift. I want you to know this is what the Word of God says about you, my brother, my sister, whomever are listening. Verse 7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift. So you're not excluded from that. That means there's something unique God has implanted within you that is beneficial to the body of Christ. Amen. So each of us, a special gift through the generous of Christ, the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the high, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he said he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He gave. These are, verse 11, now these are the gifts. So now here's some gifts. And I want to piggyback on that word gifts, because didn't have to pay for it. Now, they must manage it, but it was a gift. So these, what I'm about to name, these are gifts given to men and women, to people, for the edifying of the body. They are gifts. Amen. In other words, they didn't quote-unquote earn it, per se. Now, God may require them to uphold certain standards, amen, to maintain it. And God may require them to do this and that with it. But these are the gifts. And he gave this to the body of Christ. And we're talking about to the body. So we're talking about the office of the gift. We're not talking about the individual people. We're talking about the office itself, the position, the authority, the purpose. So now these are the gift Christ gave to the church. Remember, the church is the body of Christ. Amen. It is not the four, not those four walls. It is the body of Christ. He gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. These are the five named ministries that God has given to the church. These are what have been anointed, appointed for the edifying of the body. And we'll get into that in just a second. And so Christ gave these to the body. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. To do his work and to build up the church. Just like we ourselves have our obligation to our families, to our community, and it's for us to learn what we can learn. We should not be lazy because other people are lazy. We should not care because it seems like others don't care. But we should be active and purposeful in our actions to bring a better world, to bring about a better world, excuse me. Amen. And so this, I'm going to read 12 again. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So God don't want us to stay immature. He does not want us to stay undeveloped. Just like any parent, I don't care how beautiful that baby was when that baby was born. I don't care how much time we said goo goo gaga and we said oh no no princess cheese and all of that we did admiring that baby. 6 months from now, we want to see some growth. And if that baby is not developing, is not growing, we're going back to the hospital and we want to know why. We want to know what's going on. If a year come around and the baby is not even crawling, we want to know what is the real problem, what's really going on. If we're feeding the child and taking care of the child, and that child 2 years come around and that child still not able to walk, we want to know medically from the doctor, what is the issue? What's the real problem? Why? Because if we're feeding the child and loving the child should be growing and developing. And the only time we find deprecated dwarfism is when the child has been ignored and not loved and not touched. The only time we see undevelopment is when there is a defect involved. Amen. And so, but we want to see some level of growth. Don't have to be the same as everyone else, but we need to see something. Amen. And a good parent is going to do all that they can to find out what's going on. And they want to know why, because we want to see that child move from an infant stage to a toddler stage, from a toddler stage to a young child stage. From the young child stage, we're hoping that they don't become too reckless in their adolescent stage, their preteens, their teenage years, because our hope and desire is that they will grow and develop and become mature adults themselves someday. Yes, they will always be our children, but we want to see them being able to manage their own affairs, to develop their own life. Amen. And we want to see them do those things in a healthy way. Amen. And so God wants us to be able to do those things the same way. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. You know what I'm saying? We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. See, that's why it's so important for after the preacher has preached, regardless of how it made you feel, it's good for you to follow along with what they're teaching, to read along with it, to make sure it line up, line upon line, precept upon precept. Teaching is solid. Amen. For proper development. Amen. It says so that we won't be blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Some people, they just got away with words. But when you know what the Bible say for yourself, they slick talking, you just let that go on right on out the window. And you stick with the truth, amen, the truth of God's word, amen. And so when people try to trick us with lies so clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, not trying to prove that we know more than somebody else, but we're saying it in love. We're saying it with our whole heart, desiring for them to develop even while we're developing. Amen. Sometimes we're growing together. So sometimes, many times, that's the whole truth. We're really just growing together. You're growing, I'm growing. We're developing together. Amen. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. He helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, in spite of all that you're doing and saying, we need to be doing it in love and with the purpose of growing and developing. Amen. Paul's statement of living as a captive in bonds. This he did by choice, because of his love for the body of Christ. And God understands his purpose. God understood his purpose in Christ. So God gave him strength to endure what he had to endure. And God will give us strength to endure what we must endure. So he started off with I therefore, and I'm reading from King James again, back in the King James, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That's an earnest calling. That's almost like saying, man, I beg you, man, please. You know, I beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherein you were called. We are to be these next two vessels. Now, he gives us some steps here, and let's follow. The next two vessels, live life by these four steps. Step one, with all lowliness and meekness. With all lowliness and meekness. Now, the New Living said, let me go back up here to it. The New Living says, with all, always be humble and gentle. So King James here says lowliness and meekness. So this is, that lowliness is to be humble. That meekness is to be gentle. Amen. These are not signs of weakness. These are actually signs of strength. Why? Because me as a father, praying with an infant child, a toddler, I have more strength always. And so when I play wrestling, I don't need to apply my full strength to defeat them. No, I'm to play with them in a manner that it's getting the response from them, but it's not harming them. And so when we are working or ministering to other people, we're to do it purposeful, but we're not to do it with the intent to harm. Yeah, we want to run the devil out of their lives. Yes, we want them to be free from the areas of sin, but we do not want to make them hateful towards the church. We don't want them to despise the church because of our behavior. So we do things with self-control. Amen. Now, and then step two says, with long-suffering. So he tells us to be patient with one another. In order for me to endure some things, I gotta have some patience. Long-suffering means you got to be really, really patient. And here's our example, God himself, because he's long-suffering, because for the longest we keep rebelling against him. For the longest we don't do what we need to do or what we're supposed to do for him the way he told us, even after understanding. And so he's long-suffering because he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get those things right when he could have just easily destroyed us at the beginning. But he gives us chance. And so just like God is patient with us, we must be patient with others. So that forbearing is making that allowance for others' fault, forbearing one another in love. In other words, not trying to find an excuse why they keep messing up or doing wrong, but not taking everything, so not being so sensitive by everything that they do. And so they may be talking to you and because of the lifestyle that they live, you know, cuss words may be in every other sentence. You know, don't take that personal. Amen. Because God is still working on them. Be thankful that they are taking time to even talk to you. And as you're talking to them, they'll be mindful. Oh, man, you know, I've had people do it to me all the time. They'll be talking. Preacher, why you ain't say nothing? Man, I'm up there just a cussing. I said, them your lips. You talk to God for yourself, man. And so we have to be mindful that people would do things, but then because of the way you're behaving, they're and as a matter of fact, real life testimony, years ago when I was still in Florida, and I was the customer service manager for a company, and the head cashier, which was the office clerk, we was in a meeting in the office with the other managers, and man, she was just, it was something going on, and she was just blankety blank 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 this, that, and the other, you know, letting go of her aggression. And one of the other managers said, "Hey, stop all your cussing, you know, the preacher over there." And she looked over there at me and she said, "Ooh, I forgot. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." She said, "Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you stop me?" I said, "I can't make you honor the commitment that I made to God. You have to do that for yourself." And in front of everybody, she was like, I never heard that before. She said, I grew up and I'm in Catholic school and had the training and everything. And she said, I never had anyone explain that to me like you just said. And from that day on, whenever I was there, she said, I'm glad you're here so I can stop cussing. It gave her a sense of, it helped her conscience, and it helped her put something under control that she herself wasn't satisfied with and wanted to be better. But it wasn't because I forced it on her. It was because, like God gave us a choice, I gave her a choice, and I let her know that, hey, that's your choice. You have to choose it for yourself. And I think so many times in our desperation of wanting people to be saved, in times past we've done things, said things, in trying to force them to be saved. You know, there was a time that even in the sanctified church, the Holy Ghost movement church, we sent you to hell for almost everything in the fear that if you do this or that, you're going to go astray. And so the teaching was, if you do this, you're going to hell. If you do that, you're going to hell. And you went to hell for, if you had on a red, it was a time you couldn't wear a red shirt to church. But these were superstitions. These were things that were done in trying to help people, but not realizing that actually you were steering them away. You caused them to rebel because it didn't make sense, certain things. The laws of God make sense. Be kind to one another. That makes sense because you want people to be kind to you. That makes sense. Don't cheat on your wife. That makes sense because you don't want your wife to cheat on you. That makes sense. All right, amen. Love God first. That makes sense because he's a jealous God. And he will have no other God before him. That makes sense. Okay. Every parent that produces a child out of their loins want that child to look at them as their heroes. And it kind of get a little offensive when you talk about everybody else other than giving credit to your mama and daddy who's working hard to provide for you. It does something on the inside of them. So that makes sense for God to say, I am a jealous God. I will have no other God before me. That makes sense. It just makes sense, the things of God. And we're going to keep on moving. Glory to God. Amen. Ooh, our time is moving. Glory to God. Amen. And so, and number four was enduring. And so we have to learn how to endure. We have to learn how to be there for others. And we have to learn how to really, and sometimes you just got to have patience and wait on people to develop at their level. You keep encouraging them. You keep saying positive things to them. It's just like anything that somebody learning. The whole purpose of the teacher is to give you application, to give you the principles so that you can one day make the decision to apply them. And the whole thing of a pastor is to be that leading shepherd, to lead you into areas where you're to be. That evangelist, his job is to point you in the right direction, to call you out of darkness, to get you over there in the right place. That prophet, his job is to resound or echo the voice of God, the word of God for the people of God, individually and collectively. Amen. And the apostle is to look over the church and make sure that we're upholding the laws of God, that we're upholding the word of God, that to make sure that we're teaching everyone under that umbrella is teaching the same doctrine. Amen. And so these come together so that we may be better. These come together so that we can truly function together. And so when these five entities are working together the right way, then the body of Christ can be more effective the right way. Think about it like your five senses. We have that sense of hearing, that sense of smell. We have that sense of touch. Amen. We have speech and sight. And these senses here, we can miss one of them and really still coexist very well. When two of them is gone, it really diminishes what we're able to do. When three of those senses are gone, man, it shuts us down. And so we need these leaders to elevate the church and the body of Christ, because it is them operating their role that empower us to operate in our role. If you said, hey, Killer, go over there and bring me back that yellow cup. Well, I may have the ability to move. I may have mobility. I may know how to feel my way over there to that area. I may be able to fill the multiple cups that's over there in that area. But if I don't have sight, how will I know which cup is the right yellow cup? And so that's why we have spiritual leaders. Because sometimes there's some things that need to be pointed out so that we will have clear vision of them. And vision goes beyond sight. it brings clarity and understanding. And so the body of Christ is dependent on these avenues working together so that we may fulfill all that we're required to do. Now, if I'm sitting at my computer and I'm typing, I don't need to look at the keys because I've come accustomed to their order. So I can type and keep on typing because I still have the sense of touch. And on the keyboard, when you place your hand on in the middle, your index finger on both hands know the feel for the single dot to know that you're in the right position. And so sometimes we got to have a pastor. This is the purpose of a pastor, is to be that person that's touchable, that we can touch to let us know whether or not we're in the right position. Amen. And so bring clarity or understanding. Amen. Even though we may have certain knowledge or certain ability, but sometimes, and I've done it before, got in a hurry and didn't feel for it and looked up at the screen and read back and realized I had one finger in the middle, one hand in the middle of the keys like it was supposed to be, but the other hand was up one level too high. So that means every time I went to press my J, I was pressing a U. I went to press the K, I was pressing the I. I was trying to press the L, and I was pressing O. And so I was typing words that didn't make no sense. Amen. Because I was out of position. I was out of position. So when I read it, it was resound back as a teacher. I read it. It was resound back to myself. Ooh, that's wrong. Delete, 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 delete. Backspace, backspace, backspace. Amen. And position myself right so that I can type the way I needed to been typing. Amen. And so we have to realize the unity of the body is just that sensitive and just that simple. Now, I didn't get mad at my fingers for typing the wrong thing. And there been times that I was typing and my fingers get cramped. Amen. I don't get mad. Amen. You know what I do when my fingers get tired and cramped up? I grab a pen. And I go to typing one letter at a time. In other words, I slow down, but I don't stop. Sometimes in life, we all may get a little tired of doing the same old thing. You may feel cramped. You may feel overlooked. But you got to know how to take your Bible, your Word of God, and be consistent with what God is giving you. And if it means that you just have to do one letter at a time, that's fine. If you have to do just one thing at a time, that's fine. Because it's still working together for the good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to their purpose, your purpose, my purpose. So if God purposed to use us to build this community, then even though we may be deficient in certain areas, we can be assured to know that even if we're just pecking at it, we're accomplishing something. We're getting something done. And so we don't have to be weary because we're doing well. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap. But if you faint not, remember those ifs, they are conditional on us. God is absolute. When we see if, it's based on us continuing doing what was required, the fulfilling the prerequisite. If we do our part, God is guaranteed to do his part. It releases, amen. So, anyways, so step four, that's a primary position devoted. It's six. It's a fixed position in place, in time or state by implication. Merely a constructive that is related to rest, to keep the unity of the faith. To keep the unity of the faith. To keep the unity of the faith in bonds and in peace. Why? It's the reason here, for true unity, we see in verses, four through six, we see that true unity. There is one body and one spirit. Amen. Even as ye are called into one hope for your calling. So if God is unified and we're called to be a part of him, we're called to be a part of that unity. Amen. And I know we all like our individuality, our personality, who we are, and we lean to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we do it to the point where it's still beneficial to the body. I don't care about my index finger being a good, strong, pointing finger. That's fine. But when I needed to do what I needed to do, I don't need it curled up. When I need it extended, I don't need it curled up. I need it extended for whatever I'm intending to do. Whether I'm pressing the doorbell or at somebody's house, or whether I'm using it to hold a pen, I need it to be strong in what it's called to do. And unless the word is called ambidextrous, unless you are able to write with both hands, one hand is already conditioned to write. But should I lose that hand, I have to train and recondition the other hand to now fulfill that role. And so because of that loss or because of an affliction, and sometimes we're called to do things not because that was the original intent, but because the original did not fulfill. I remember a testimony by a man named Reinhard Bonnke. Another televangelist that I did a lot of praying for miracles and different things of that nature. And I remember him sharing about how he felt special that God called him. And he felt like this was something more than he can endure, the calling of God to witness to the masses. And he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy. Who am I? This and that." He said, and God told him, "said you wasn't my first choice." He said, "You're my third because the other two failed to do what I need." He said, "Lord, you can stop right here. I'm gonna do what you told me to do." And he committed to doing what God told him to do. And as he was giving the testimony, I was reminded of the story of Jonah. In my mind, how Jonah was told to do something. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And Jonah really paid the price, paid fair. He paid money to go in the opposite direction. And trouble came to where Jonah was. And it caused trouble that affected other people all because of his disobedience. All because he wasn't willing to do what God wanted him to do. And when it was found out that he was the problem, they asked, what shall we do? He said, well, throw me overboard. Well, that was a bad thing for them to do. They didn't want to be cursed by God. They didn't want to be guilty of this man's death. He said, but the only way y'all going to be free is to remove me from y'all midst. And he was thrown overboard. And in the midst of thinking all hope was over, he remembered the Lord. And so God prepared a fish for him to swallow him, to hold him, to preserve him from the waves and from drowning. And in there, thinking that he was going to die, he repented and talked to the Lord. And God delivered him to the shore in the place where he was supposed to go. And what it normally took him 3 days to do, he was so grateful of life that he did it in one day. Now, he did it out of that zeal, but there were still some things in his heart that quite wasn't right. The message was that they were going to be destroyed because of their sin. Well, they heard the message, even the king. And from the greatest to the smallest, they all began to fast and pray that God would change his heart toward concerning them. And this is why we must have forbearance for one another in love. Now, Jonah had delivered the word. He was the prophet. He was the voice of God. And the people repented. Well, the Bible tells us that God desired that none should perish, but all come into the knowledge of repentance. But for whatever reason, Jonah was set for them to die. And he went off to a place where he can observe the destruction of the city. It's not for us to look for someone's demise. It's not for us to even desire others to be punished like that. Our desire need to be that they will change, that they will receive the truth and accept God's gift as we did. Because once upon a time, we was in rebellion. And there was a time that we did not do right, would not do right, wasn't trying to be right. But his mercy abided in us. His grace shadowed us. And when we accepted his offer, he forgave us. And so we have to be mindful that as others accept God's offer, when they ask for forgiveness, that they have a journey to getting in right position. Everything may not line up the first day or the second day. Or if it does the first and second day, it may get crooked a little bit the third or fourth day. But we have to be there to encourage them, to guide them. That's that role of a teacher. Uh, And as we do those things, the body of Christ is being edified, is being encouraged, is being motivated. These are the things that God has done for us that we will be able to be who he wants us to be. Amen and amen. I think I'm going to stop there. I think I'm going to stop there for this evening. We got about 15 minutes, 14 minutes before the program is over. Just want to say thank you for your time, for listening. Had several calls come in, a few dropped off. Some may be on the internet now. If you have any questions, I'm willing to try to answer any questions concerning the unity of the body on tonight. Our scripture coming out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Are there any questions? Are there any concerns? Is there anything that you may want to follow through with or follow up on in words or what have you? All right. Well, there be no questions. I'm going to play a little bit more music before we end the program on this evening.
Jesus is here. He is the Messiah. Gracious is he.
I got it here.
Six Eyes himself, God bless you, man of God. Want to say thank you, Missionary Ken and Sister Ruth. God bless you in your program. Amen. Mama Sanford, God bless you on this evening, you and your family. Want to say to my mother, God bless you. We love you, Mama. Keep doing well. We're thanking God for the healing of your body. Amen. Want to say thank you to Lady Bonnet, who allowed me to take up this time out of family time to reach out and touch others. That's part of our extended family as the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Want to say hello to all of my kids, Kenneth, Enoch, Quan, and Ariel. God bless you all. Amen. We want to thank all of you. Our thanks, Princess Nikhil. Hey, how you doing, young lady? God bless you. We pray that everything is going well with you and yours. Want to say thank you to Pastor Calhoun. God bless you, man of God, there in Somerville. God bless you. Pastor Allen, God bless you. Wesley, God bless you on this evening. May you continue to be blessed, be encouraged. Amen. Thank you for being a part of our program. We love you all with the love of Christ. Amen. There are countless others that names that I am not mentioning. They tell you the danger of naming names is you're going to leave somebody out. So all I want to say is I'm sending a blessing to you. Say your name. Just say your name. You. God bless you too. Amen. That way I didn't leave nobody out. Amen. We are all blessed. Amen. Father God, bless our listeners. Bless them in a wonderful way. Lord God, allow this word to germinate in their heart and their spirit. Allow it to bring encouragement to them that we are the body of Christ. And no matter what part of the body we are all important. Amen. And so, God, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for being important. Important enough that you will set up, Lord God, the fivefold ministry to make sure that we're not left out, to make sure that we're all included for spiritual growth, oh God, physical development, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that we're about to see that you have already set in motion. God, we love you on today. We thank you for the Six Eyes platform, this block talk programming, Lord God, and the Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you for them, oh God, each one in their respective places, one by one and name by name. God, we pray, Lord God, that they be not weary in well-doing, for in due season they shall reap if they faint not. We love you, Father God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that our names made the work list early this morning, and we made the afternoon checkoff list as well. God bless you. Oh, God, we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that our name made the checklist this evening. So we just want to bless you. Thank you for our contributors, those that send funds into this program to help it be what it needs to be. We thank you today, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless them for their sacrifice, their gifts of love, Lord God, that you would pull back into them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the other programming on this network, Lord God, that the spirit of truth will go forth and go out throughout the world, Lord God. Help them to resound the gospel truth. And as you do it, God, we'll ever mindful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, so that it all belongs to you. We can search the heavens high and the earth below, and we will find none like you. And so we thank you today for being the only wise God, the only source to all of our resources. We thank you. We turn to you for all of our needs, and we place ourselves in your hands. We love you, and we thank you for teaching us how to love one another. God bless you. We love you with the love of Christ. Be good. Be kind to one another. Amen. Be kind to one another. It don't take that don't take nothing. Be kind to one another. Amen. And watch kindness return to you. God bless you until tomorrow night programming or when you recycle to this Monday program. We'll see you then. God bless you and God keep.